Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Hector Fernandez, the CEO of Aristocrat Gaming, on how his company is sustaining its leading position in the slot manufacturing world. This week's podcast is sponsored by IGT with its new MLP theme, Prosperity Link. It's a hit and performing at over 3 times versus house, according to Eilers' June report. Learn more at igt.com/prosperity. Hector Fernandez joined Aristocrat Gaming a little more than 2 years ago and ran straight into the pandemic. But he explains that instead of hunkering down and waiting for it to pass, Aristocrat turned up their creative juices and created new games, systems, and ways to help casinos recover from the lockdown. He says that strategy is now paying off with high ranking in almost every phase of the EKG slot reports. He also talks about how quickly the company is growing and its strategy to separate gaming, iGaming, and social gaming into separate divisions. He spoke with me at the Aristocrat headquarters in Las Vegas in May. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Hector Fernandez, the CEO of Aristocrat Gaming. Hector, great to see you again. We did this over the pandemic one time, and it's great to be back in person.
Yeah, it's great to see you as well. I'm so glad we actually can do it in person versus via Zoom call.
I like Zoom, but it's always better to do it in person.
Agreed. And
we've got the video going now, so we've stepped it up a little bit. So you've been president and CEO, and then CEO of Aristocrat for about 2 years now. What's the most important thing you learned during that time here at Aristocrat?
It's all about our people. Yeah. At the end of the day, every single thing we do, and you'll hear me talk about it over and over and over and over again, but everything we've accomplished over the last 2 years is because of our people and their resilience, their commitment to the business, our commitment back to them. And overall, quite frankly, is pick the right people, set the right expectations, set the right reward system, and set the right accountability metrics. And and then know when to stay out of the way.
And then just get out of the way and let them do their job, right?
Exactly.
So you had your earnings call this week, and it's very impressive, 41% increase in profits, and more impressively on your part, it was 61% increase in the North American market, which, of course, you're responsible for. So, you know, how did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit about this through the pandemic. We talked about this concept of companies that continue to invest through economic cycles, economic shocks, can actually leapfrog the competitors. And it's one of the things that we as a business understood was important. We were fortunate that we had a strong balance sheet and our ability to do that. And so through the pandemic, quite frankly, we just continued our D&D investment. And I think I even told you, hey, in 18 to 24 months, we will be sitting having a conversation around the difference that it made, because it takes about 18 to 24 months to commercialize a product portfolio. And if you look at our results, if you look at the number of gaming ops installs that that we made, we actually grew the market, which is rare because that tends to be a flattish market. If you look at the number of games that we sold for the half, it was a record half, all-time record half for us. And so it really is a byproduct of the choices we made through the pandemic, starting with being there for our customers through our Aristocrat Assist program, continuing by investment in D&D. And then the other thing that we did that was interesting, as we saw the world start coming back, we realized that there was going to be some supply chain challenges because folks, you know, had kind of hunkered down, not spent as much money. And you've heard this this concept of the bullwhip economy. So we saw that early on. And one of the things that we did is we were aggressive and took long positions of inventory. And so if you look at our results for the half, the reason we were able to fulfill all that demand and the reason we had, you know, very high profitable business is because our forward investment into inventory that proved to be the right decision. Now, I will tell you, it's always a bit hard when the business goes to zero to say, hey, I'm going to go continue to spend a lot of money, both from a D&D standpoint and from an inventory building position standpoint. But we have a track record of success, and our investors really, and our board and our executive team bought into this concept that through recovery, we wanted to make sure we could provide for our customers.
Sure, sure. And that obviously turned out to be a great decision. So
it did. Otherwise, we may not be having this chat right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got a financial background. How does that help you, manage the successful? Also, you've got a creative side to you as well, but you have to kind of merge those two. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's one of those things that having a finance background mm-hmm. allows me to worry a lot less about the numbers on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
I think when folks come up through different paths or different avenues, usually, and it's not a finance background, that's where they have to spend the vast majority of their time.
Sure.
But because it's a hard skill set mm-hmm. and it requires a lot of experience. So what's really helped me is I've been able to spend more of my time on our people and our customers.
Right.
And far less time on the P&L, if you will.
Right, sure.
Because within a 15-minute meeting, I can have a grasp of what's happening mm-hmm. and what does the future kind of look like based on trends
sure.
without having to spend hours of discussions.
Right, right.
So if you think about a typical week for us, that literally is 15 to 30 minutes of my week
right.
is spent on numbers.
Okay.
And the rest of the time is spent on our people, our customers, the future, the investments, the trade-offs, mm-hmm. all of those things that you need to do to run a business.
Okay, so your knowledge of the financial side of the business it gives you the opportunity to even spend more time on the things that are more important, I guess.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
great,
right.
Great. So you've had a lot of really breakthrough products over the last few years. Of course, the Buffalo Series, Light and Link. I'm naming the two that are most copied in the industry. How important are these products to the success of the company?
Yeah, they are the backbone of what we've been able to build, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about Aristocrat 7-10 years ago, you think about our entry into the U.S., we were not anywhere in the top five.
Right, right.
And we were able to take some of the learnings from the Australian market, right, which is where right. our roots are. A lot of the products that have been successful there, a lot of the math that has been successful there, some of the volatility from a game performance standpoint, and we were able to bring it to this market, and over time, really accelerate the growth. So
right.
Today we're the undeniable number one player globally,
right.
not just in the lease market, but also now in the for sale market.
Sure, right.
And it's really behind these investments in some of these proprietary brands that mm-hmm. we have built over time. If you think about one of the new products we launched, it's probably almost a year ago, was Buffalo Link,
mm-hmm.
and Buffalo Link is essentially Buffalo
right.
with Lightning Link
right.
math behind mm-hmm. it. And we said that would be a fantastic combination. It was the most anticipated game. It
right.
was the fastest ramping game we've ever put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to have installs out in the marketplace. And so it's been very successful. And that's one of the things as a company, we've said, okay, what are the brands that we have built? What are the things we need to make sure we continue to build in the future? What are some of the things that maybe we need to do some licensing deals?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't end up relying solely on, hey, I'm just gonna make Buffalo games,
right?
Right. And so yeah. I think that's been a very important part of our portfolio is this diversification element
mm-hmm.
where we now have swim lanes in multiple segments that we feel could be successful in the places we
sure,
are.
Sure, sure. So when we did the podcast during the pandemic, you talked about your D&D teams and how they've been, they've been hunkering down and really getting to work. Have they continued to pump out all those great products and games?
Yeah, the number one challenge today is how do you commercialize it all,
right?
Right? And one of the things that we have seen, and we have these portfolio reviews
mm-hmm.
Every 6 months where we look at kind of the future, not what we have today.
Right.
But the future, and we just had one about a couple of months ago. There's a lot of really cool things that came out of that meeting. Number one, I walked out of that room with an extreme confidence around our future
mm-hmm.
because just the quality of the portfolio and the evolution of where we have come,
right.
it's just strong, it's so strong. Personally, I believe industry leading, bar none.
Right.
The other thing that was really interesting out of that meeting is seeing the pipeline of talent. So obviously we have arguably the world's greatest D&D designers,
sure.
right, and studio heads.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that they have been doing also is building talent underneath them.
Right.
So a lot of the pitches actually that came from these new games didn't come from the studio head anymore.
Okay.
It actually came from some of their younger talent
mm-hmm.
that has maybe been doing this for 5 to 10 years.
Sure.
And that's really cool to see because now you've created a longevity that this industry hasn't seen.
Right.
You've seen companies kind of have massive booms.
Sure, right.
And then kind of fall off. Mm-hmm. And I think we've figured out, hey, this is about creating a strong pipeline of people and talent
right.
behind these you know, world leading studio heads that one day they'll pass the torch on.
Sure. Well, you know, you got such great influencers as Joe Kamenkow and Scott Olive and you know, others in your organization. So I guess you know, all these young people are kind of learning the basics from them.
Yeah, and it's a great place to be, right? And it's one of those things that we now have the ability to attract this very high quality talent,
right?
And then develop them. And we see that not just in D&D. So we launched Aristocrat Future Leaders Program also a couple of years ago. And through the pandemic, we continue to invest in that program.
Right.
And the whole concept of that program is to hire and recruit college grads that we then bring into the business, and we put them through a variety of rotations. So it's no longer a world where you're a finance person and you just spend your whole time in finance. You may have been a finance undergrad, but you're going to go learn a little bit about sales. You're going to go learn a little bit about marketing.
Right.
You're going to learn a little bit about finance. And then at the end of the rotation, you get to say, this is my preference. And then we match that with business need. So you're starting to create this really strong, sustainable pipeline of talent across the entire organization.
Yeah. And I guess that creates a certain loyalty to the company as well.
It does. You know, one of the things that, and we talk a lot about our people, but a lot of companies do that. And it's easy to do that.
Right.
But when you look at our actions, I think that's where we have built this, what I think is our secret sauce, is really the culture.
Right.
When I think about the things that we did during the bushfires in Australia, the floods in Australia, through COVID, and then most recently, that predominantly impacts our digital business, the things that we've done in Ukraine and Russia.
Right.
I have never worked for an organization that has done those things for our people. And so when we talk about our people and we do a town hall or we do any kind of conversation with our people, they really feel the love.
Sure.
And it's this concept that we have developed, and it's weird in the corporate world to talk about the fact that you love your people.
Right.
But that's really what we've discovered. We truly love our people.
Right, right. Well, I was at the groundbreaking of your new manufacturing facility last month, and you could feel the love from the people toward the leadership, which I think is even more unusual. You know,
it is, right? Because usually it's like all the things you're doing wrong.
Right. I've heard the words out of leadership before, but to see it come back to you like that, that must have been very inspiring.
It's honestly, every day I wake up, particularly in this new role. You know, there's over 4,000 families that depend on the decisions that the team makes. Every day I wake up, that's the first thing I think about. It's the 4,000 families.
Right.
And I think that people can feel that. People can feel that commitment for their personal well-being, their personal progression, you know, the ability to create wealth over a lifetime of work. And they give us that love back. And, you know, this is what I love about coming to the office is that gives me a ton of energy, right? To walk the building and to feel that love back from our people makes it so we want to win every day. And we want to win the right way.
Okay, great. So tell us about your systems business. You know, that's obviously a big part of the success of the company as well.
Yeah, so we call it our CX business, or our customer experience. So the way we recently just broke out the business is I own Global Gaming. Mitch owns RMG, Real Money Gaming, plus systems. And then Mike owns our digital business.
Okay.
Our systems business continues to be very healthy. We continue to invest quite a bit. In fact, over the last 3 years, we've ramped our investment behind our systems business. We recognize that it is an important part of our product portfolio offering, and that our customers depend on us for that to be stable and scale with their business.
Right.
And so, you know, under the leadership of Kath and Mitchell, we will continue to do that.
Yeah, okay. That is an important role, and you've always been noted for that as well. So I was at the Eilers and Krejcik Slot Awards a few months ago, and you know, every time you were nominated, you won, it seemed. And the most recent report is, you know, you're just even you know, skying even higher. So you know, how important is that for you to really be recognized by your peers and by you know, this independent agency that rates all slot machines?
Yeah, it was fascinating. If I wasn't so tan, you would have seen me blush at the award ceremony, because it's one of those things where you're sitting there and, you know, it obviously is a big deal, right? It's a big deal for our game designers.
Right.
It's a big deal for our hardware engineers that make the cabinets.
Sure.
It's a big deal for the sales and marketing organization that commercializes these things. And it's just a big deal overall to be recognized by your peers, right?
Yeah.
It's, And so sitting there, it's a bit of a, you know, you allow yourself to try to live in the moment.
Right.
And say, you know, the choices we've made, the decisions we've made, the investments we've made are paying off.
Right.
And in a public setting.
Yeah.
And one of the fascinating awards that we won, obviously Supplier of the Year is the big one, right?
Right.
You want to take home. But we won Most Improved in Premium Lease.
Mm-hmm.
We were already the number one in Premium Lease.
Right.
So to be able to win that, for me personally, was actually the biggest accolade of the night.
Right.
Because it really demonstrated that we have a commitment to our customers to continue to invest in product that drives returns on their floors.
Okay. Well, you know, the one I was most impressed with was Most Improved Company. You were already the best company on top of that, and suddenly you were Most Improved as well. I mean, that really made people out of scratch their head. How can they even get any better? But you seem to have done that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, when we wake up every morning, we think about the business. We think about how do we disrupt ourselves.
Right.
We don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about what is the competitive landscape doing.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a little bit of time, but not a whole lot of time. It's really about where do we want to go?
Right.
Where do we want to grow? And what are the things we have to do today to disrupt ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And that is a different mindset than most organizations.
Right.
Most organizations are saying, where do I want to go? Where do I want to grow? How do I get there? But they're not thinking about how do they disrupt themselves.
Sure. Right.
And so it's something we challenge ourselves every single day. And you'll have seen over the last 2 or 3 years, we've really challenged ourselves in things like marketing,
mm-hmm.
right? And direct-to-consumer marketing, direct-to-player marketing. We've challenged ourselves in analytics and analysis and insight. We've challenged ourselves in being faster. We didn't want to be the slow, conservative ones.
Right.
We challenged ourselves in being better listeners to our customers, understanding mm-hmm. what are their needs, and how do we build commercial models that address their business needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's one of those things that you never quite get there, which is kind of a humbling thing, right?
Sure.
Like you never get to the finish line. But if you don't continue to disrupt yourself,
mm-hmm.
someone else will disrupt you.
Yeah, no question.
The cat's out of the bag. IGT's newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link, is a hit and performing at over triple versus House, according to Eilers' June report. Both partner themes feature the player favorite lock and respin bonus and the exciting free games bonus with either scatter or multiplier wilds. Prosperity Link will drive players to your floor with its popular game mechanics. Grab this exciting game while it's hot. Learn more at IGT.com/prosperity.
Mentioned RMG focus that Arista is going to have now, certainly to a quick ramp up of the interactive side. How are you going to work with them? Obviously, they're going to depend a lot on the games that have already been developed and are really popular. Are you going to develop now games that will stand alone on both the land-based side and the interactive side?
So one of the things that's fantastic about it is I reported to Mitchell for the last 2.5 years, and Mitchell now runs RMG.
Right.
And so we have a fantastic relationship, right?
Right.
One of the big reasons that I was able to get this role was because of Mitchell's leadership and guidance.
Sure.
And, you know, quite frankly, his willingness to let me go try new things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a really important thing about it. And so Mitch and I work very close on it. So, you know, we've publicly said it's a buy and build strategy or a build and buy strategy.
Right.
We have certain capabilities, internal capabilities we're going to continue to build and invest. And then, you know, we may do some bolt-on M&As that make sense. And
mm-hmm.
so the relationship between Mitch and I, and even as we think about going to market, a lot of the same customers, right? And so we will work together. It's not like your typical siloed organization where you're like, this is your P&L, this is my P&L.
Right.
That's not the discussion we have ever.
Okay.
In fact, we talk about how do we protect the gaming
mm-hmm.
P&L, but how do we grow on top of that in the right way for our customers?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we will leverage our content. We have
the
world's greatest content. It has been proven out early days in the market in RMG that the content that resonates the best online in
mm-hmm.
the U.S. specifically
is
that is in land-based. Europe is a different model.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we grow and scale the business, we will adapt to the different regional needs and say, okay, does this actually fit well from land-based to digital? And the other way around too.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at two of our best performing games right now in the core market, they actually started off as a digital game that we launched.
Mm-hmm.
And the studio head and his team made tweaks based on the performance, because it's a lot easier to launch a digital game. And then once they were happy with all of the different changes they made, they brought it to land base.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a unique model that a lot of companies, we may be the first ones to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's proven very successful, obviously, from a performance standpoint.
Sure, sure. So you're going to work closely with the RMG people then?
For sure, for sure.
Okay, great. So another big market that's growing like crazy is the HHR market.
Yes.
I've been confounded with that because, you know, and when we had Class 2 gaming and Class 3 was introduced, you know, Class 2 kind of went away, you know, but that's not the case with HHR. It seems to be growing even in states where there's competing Class 3 games. Why did you get into it like this, and what do you expect out of that market?
Yeah, so our strategy has always been, we're purposeful in what markets we enter. Mm-hmm. Our strategy has never been, this is the total addressable market, let's go try to be everything to everyone.
Sure.
And so we've been very targeted. It may mean that at times we're not first to market, which
right.
we are actually okay with. HHR is a good example of that. We were not first to market.
Right.
But we studied the market and we said, what are the things we think we could bring to the table that's a differentiated content that can be successful in that market? And it's one of the things we did in the first half is we entered the HHR market. We knew there was learning we had to do. Mm-hmm. So we didn't build unrealistic expectations internally that we were going to, you know, take the number
sure,
one
right.
position overnight
right.
because we wanted to scale in the right way.
Right.
And so as we look forward, it's to your point, it's been a fascinating evolution, right? Who would
sure.
ever thought a historical horse race outcome
right.
would dictate an outcome of a slot machine, but you know, in certain jurisdictions, that's where the legalization mm-hmm. has happened, and we've been very happy with the performance in the early days, and we're going to scale that. It's the same thing we've done with other adjacencies. So,
sure.
Whether it's the VLT market, mm-hmm. which you know we entered Illinois
right.
A little bit ago, and we've had tremendous success there as we've scaled. Whether it's the you know the bar top or winner's world market,
right.
Where it's obviously there's an incumbent player, it's very mm-hmm. hard to penetrate, but we continue to invest behind it. Or whether it's the Washington CDS market, right, which
right.
is a
sure.
different even algorithm of how the win is determined, also dominated by a couple of incumbent players, and we've said, hey, we're not gonna win this market overnight, but we're in this for the long run.
Right, right. You mentioned the bar top market. I went to a debut of a Buffalo Lounge in one of the,
yeah.
the Vegas casinos last year, and the bar tops were really impressive. How's they've been performing?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we first launched the bar top, I think there was a lot of learning we had to do.
Sure.
I mean, even things from like the angle of
yeah.
how you place the
right.
bar top, right? Because you have a player that has been playing for 20 plus years in a particular style bar mm-hmm. top. And so we've been evolving that and continue to invest in it. A lot of organizations would have maybe launched and said, you know what, we didn't hit a home run on that.
Right.
Let's pull the plug. And we're like, you know what, it's okay. We're going to learn. We're going to invest. We have the capability, the resources to get this right. And if you've looked at kind of the last half performance, mm-hmm. We didn't disclose how many bar tops we sold, but it was more than you know previous
right.
periods,
sure.
right? Because
right.
we're starting to gain some traction behind mm-hmm. that. We're starting to learn about the market, and we're patient.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. That makes sense. So here we are in late May, and before you know it, G2E is going to be upon us.
Yes.
So can you give us a hint on what we're going to see new at the Aristocrat stand at G2E?
Yeah, so our philosophy for trade shows has been show up at a trade show with new content.
Right.
So if you went to IGA, one of the things that we were very proud of is we had new content available to commercialize and even in Class 2.
Right.
And it's one of the things that we've done very well over the last 3 years is build bespoke content mm-hmm. for that market. If you fast forward to G2E without giving too much away, you know, one of the things that we, and is public, that we announce is the signing of the NFL licensing deal
right.
as the exclusive slot manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And to us, that's a really exciting opportunity.
Right.
If you think about the NFL brand,
sure.
and you think about how even the NFL brand has grown over the last 5 years, mm-hmm. And you think about some of the things that have been happening around sports betting and how
sure.
the leagues around the country have embraced it, we believe we can now have a unique product offering to bring to our customers
sure.
and to the players where they can enjoy NFL content mm-hmm. on a slot machine.
Right.
And so there will be a bit of that, you know,
yeah.
going into
okay.
G2E as we commercialize that product.
That'll be smack in the middle of football season. So.
It will. It's actually perfect timing,
is,
right?
Yep.
But then, you know, on top of that, there's other new product extensions that you will see at G2E. One of the things that's really important for us is even as we do a big brand like the NFL, we have such a strong organic pipeline of our own product,
mm-hmm.
our own brands.
Right.
So you will see a lot of that going into this next G2E
okay,
as
great,
well.
Great. All right, one last question. You mentioned you've risen to the top of the heap here in the slot manufacturing community. What are you going to do to defend that position? I mean, you've got a lot of aggressive companies out there, you know, putting out some great product as well, and you have to really be aware of that.
Yeah, it's one of the big things we talk about all the time is staying humble and hungry. Mm-hmm. We need to ensure that we win every day. This isn't about winning the last 6 months. This is about winning every single day. And just this focus on our people that will deliver the product, the installations, the marketing, the commercialization, and our customers. So one of the things that we spend quite a bit of time doing is talking to our customers mm-hmm. and trying to understand what are the things they're trying to solve from a business perspective. Right. And then we try to align our strategies to do that. So instead of looking kind of around us and say, who's trying to chase us?
Right.
We actually look at the source that actually drives our success,
right,
which is our people and our customers. Mm-hmm. And we worry less about what everybody else is doing. I actually think it's really good for the industry to have great diversified content.
Sure, right.
I think it's great for the industry, for our competitive set, to have great product.
Right.
Because ultimately, what we're really, really all in business to do is to serve our customers and the players.
Right, right.
So we view that actually as a positive. I mean, we're competitive, but we, you know, there's enough room for everyone to be successful is kind of the way we think about
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. Well, Tommy O'Brien told me that, during the pandemic, you actually went out to your customers and said, how can we help you get back open? And he didn't think anybody else had done that, but you guys were there. Do you think that really helped you, cement some loyalty from those customers?
Absolutely. Our philosophy was if our customers were at a casino exposing themselves potentially to COVID, mm-hmm. there was no reason why we shouldn't be there as well.
Right.
And there was no way, like we talked about, that you could achieve the same outcome via Zoom call.
Sure.
So Tommy and I spent quite a bit of time traveling together, mm-hmm. Visiting our customers and understanding their ever-changing needs. Because right. in the middle of COVID, we went through everything shut down, to everything having to be social distance, to everything having plexiglass. You went through literally the roller coasters of
right.
all the reactive things that people were trying to figure out because of this pandemic we didn't fully understand. I think that time we spent listening mm-hmm. was not only did it cement this concept of a strategic partnership versus a vendor relationship with our customers, it actually made us better as a business because we came back and we said, these are the things we need to focus on. Because as a corporation, you always have these strategic goals, but the strategic goals should actually be informed by who's paying your bills.
Right.
And sometimes a lot of companies don't do that.
Sure.
They become internally focused and drive what they believe is going to drive their success. And we really said, no, our customers are going to define what we need to do to be successful.
Right. Great, great. Well, Hector, congratulations on all the success you've had over the last 2 years, and I'm sure you're going to keep it up. I mean, just knowing people like Tommy O'Brien and some of your other top executives, I mean, you really got the cream of the crop in this company. So hopefully we'll see you remain at the top of the Eilers Krejcik Report for years to come.
I appreciate that. Thank you for your time.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT and its newest MLP theme, Prosperity Link. It's a hit and performing at over 3 times versus house, according to the Eilers June report. Discover more at igt.com/prosperity. To learn more about the Aristocrat Gaming and its leading position in the industry, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.